why else?
Huge.
People keep saying, let's just move on. And that makes me mad. So I was reading about folks' commentaries about let's, and it was some people who I don't particularly, said, let's just move on. Nothing to see here.
Nothing
move
to say.
On. She has vetoed the bill. What is your problem now?
Yeah. Well, the problem is that there are five other states and that this is all being nationally pushed by the Pacific Justice Institute, which is a far right hate group, basically. And we can talk more about the Pacific Justice Institute in a few minutes. But really, we also want to hear from you, dear listener. It's a call-in show. We'd love to hear your comments, your questions, your ideas all around this topic of really legalizing discrimination. And that's what it boils down to for me. It's about 5 minutes past 8 in the morning. You are listening to Positively Revolting. And our number here is 503-231-8187. Go ahead and give us a call.
Go ahead.
We dare you. Double dog dare you. And let us know what you're thinking about legalizing discrimination and this really huge coordinated push nationally to, roll back rights for entire classes of people. I wanted to mention there's a New York Times article in the last few days that... it's called Religious Right in Arizona Cheers Bill Allowing Businesses to Refuse to Serve Gays. And I'm just going to quote from this article. In America, people should feel free to live and work according to their faith, and the government should not be able to tell us we can't do that, says Joseph LaRue, who's the legal counsel at Alliance Defending Freedom, a Christian legal organization based in Scottsdale, Arizona, that advocates religious liberty and supports the measure that was supported by the state legislature. He says faith shouldn't be something we have to leave inside our house. But civil libertarians, according to this article, and gay rights advocates say that there is a big difference between protections for clergy and houses of worship that do not want to participate in same-sex marriage and the obligations of business owners that serve the general public. According to Daniel Mock, who directs the Program on Freedom of Religion and Belief for the American Civil Liberties Union, he says religious freedom is a fundamental right, but it's not a blank check to harm others or impose our faith on our neighbors. Over the years, we as a nation have rejected efforts to invoke religion to justify discrimination in the marketplace, and there is no reason to turn back the clock on that now. I agree, Daniel Mock from the ACLU. I concur. So that's just sort of a little startup. Now, one of the things I found rather interesting about this was, in the milieu of social media.
Ah, the milieu.
I like using that word whenever possible. It reminds me of Dave Emery. Anyway, in the milieu of social media, we did find, it's the real we. Me and the mouse in my pocket found that several of my social media connections had an interesting take that would be, I would guess, sort of the libertarian standard, which was they didn't like the idea of states forcing businesses to do business with people they'd rather not do business with. Because what if they themselves were a business owner and they would not want to, say, do business with somebody who's in the Ku Klux Klan? This was the example I saw posted by several of these folks. It's an interesting bit of logic. Yes, in fact, we do actually want the state to ensure that people are not being discriminated against because of the class of personhood they are in. Yeah, that is actually the good thing a state does, near as I can figure that, and sort of, arrange fire services. Beyond that, not so necessary. That said, to ensure basic human rights and basic civil rights is a primary function of the state. Now, as an anarchist, I'd like for us to grow beyond the need for that. I would love to get rid of the state. I would love to have mutually agreed upon common ideas that hold communities together that we can mutually enforce in our mutual aid world that's based on, the better tomorrow of peace and justice and truth and beauty and love. But since we're actually living in the United States right now. And we have this federal system, and we have, you know, the Bill of Rights and the Constitution and that sort of thing. While we have this, yeah, let's use it. And let's actually say, yes, civil rights are guaranteed to all. Period. And the other piece of that logic that I found very interesting was, well, okay, let's look at what it means to actually be queer and think about what it means to have folks just be expected or allowed, accepted to not give services. Somebody might say, well, that's great. You know, if you know that the owner of that business is a bigot, you can just go to the other business and you can give them your business instead. Isn't that good?
It's so free market. So free market.
And I think, well, that's great if you happen to live in a really large, fairly liberal urban area. But say, what if you don't? What if you are, in fact, queer and living in a rural area or a small town? What if you are queer and, heaven forfend, having a road trip? What if you are now, oh, I don't know, say somewhere around the Badlands in North Dakota and there's only, or South Dakota, and there's only, you know, a gas station and services. Look, I can make it another 80 miles. Good, I'm not going to run out of gas this time in the middle of freaking nowhere. Oh, but I do have the pink triangle on my window in my car, and that gas station owner right there, he's not going to want to serve me because his religious freedom is telling him not to. God will hate him and possibly smite him if he sells me petrol.
Well, you know, you'll have to stay in that gas station for a really long time. That would defeat the purpose, would you not think? I'm just thinking.
Yeah, there's, you know, when we're talking
there's no
about
good way these things
services,
turn out.
No,
yeah.
There really isn't, right? And that's sort of my point this morning. It's not just, oh, well, you can choose the businesses that you're going to support who, in fact, don't hate you enough to not serve you in some way or another. That's not actually it. The point of it is legislation should not be allowing wholesale discrimination against a class of people.
Well, and what I also find interesting is what the turnaround was, things like the Super Bowl. Arizona was going to host the Super Bowl, and the turnaround was about money, not about the fact that it was morally reprehensible. That was what brought the turnaround. So I don't think anything has been particularly worked through or solved, but simply avoided for now.
Yes.
For a minute and a half. And it's been, I've been reading Twitter feeds about it, and there's, it's interesting what people consider hate and what they don't.
That is interesting.
Interesting and horrifying, I might add.
And we might want to actually talk about that a little bit as well. All right, so let's go ahead and let's see. 503-231-8187, the number to call. And let's go ahead and talk with Pat. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you all doing?
Doing quite well. How are you?
I'm surviving the recent Saturn and Venus occultation.
Man.
So, yeah.
Mr. Mercury's going direct.
It's been a doozy.
Yeah, going direct.
Yes, good old Mr. Mercury.
Anyway,
yeah.
Well, I really, Ani, you need to get out of my mind.
Not enough room in there, huh?
Because the points I was going to make, you just more or less talked about. But I just wanted to make sure that people understood if you follow the, you know, these kind of things on different media sources, corporate media sources. It's pretty well known, pretty widespread knowledge that it was a business decision and not the you know, warm cockles of that governor's heart that, you know, led her to veto that bill. Pretty much strictly a business decision, I'm thinking. And, And as to the point of, you know, like, well, yeah, I want to know, you know, who those business owners are. I mean, let's kind of get real here a little bit and figure that 80%, just for a rough number, 80% of the businesses out there are owned by some sort of Christian Muslim Jew.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know this is going to offend a ton of people, but as far as I'm concerned, everybody following those Abrahamic traditions are bat crazy. So that's just me, and I'm sure they think the same thing about me. But I love y'all, and we'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Pat. So much, and you know, yeah. let's just go ahead and move on. Pat, a regular caller to our show for 20 years.
Uh huh. Payphone Pat?
Except I don't think payphones really exist anymore. They're now just, you know, did you notice? He's just Pat now.
Yeah.
Payphones, they're no longer really with us. I know this is somebody without a cell phone still. There are no other phones. Okay. 503-231-8187, the number to call. You can, of course, also find us on Facebook, where you can find us at facebook.com/positivelyrevolting. You can also email us at positivelyrevolting@gmail.com.
Yes, you can.
So in all of this, looking at who's behind it, I think is always important. And again, it does look as though there's a specific group, the ever-popular Pacific Justice Institute. If you look them up, they are a really nasty piece of work.
How can you? Why would you say something like that?
Why would I say something like that? You might wonder. Now that I'm looking for the correct tab... Oh, me and my multiple tab ways.
Pacific Justice System, you say?
Indeed. The Pacific Justice System looks at... dear. They have been a group that's been associated with a lot of hate speech, actually, that they have specifically... really kind of, you know, how do I say this politely? Let's just look at what they've done. Fox, I'm going to look at the story from Media Matters for America. The Pacific Justice Institute is a California-based right-wing advocacy organization that sets a new standard for dishonesty on LGBTQ issues in 2013. They concocted a story about bathroom harassment by a transgender student in an effort to deny transgender students access to facilities that match their gender identities. In a year that witnessed a spike in transphobic commentary by right-wing media, Pacific Justice Institute's lie proliferated on outlets like Fox News, highlighting the extent to which outright misinformation undergirds the conservative media's anti-LGBTQ horror stories. For its willingness to lie in the service of undermining LGBTQ rights, Pacific Justice Institute has earned the dubious distinction of the LGBT Misinformer of the Year.
Well, the... what's the defending the family? People that endorse it. Excuse me, Bill O'Reilly, Dr. Laura Schlesinger.
Sure, there's a the lot list of people that on. Signed on, and they're the list of usual suspects. But this is the organization that seems to be sort of really heading up the national effort to see these laws passed in many a state.
Well, they're defending religious freedom, parental rights, and other civil liberties.
Yes. They also have apparently a rather tight relationship with Fox News. Now, I know from my sweetie, who, well, is a trans woman and host of Press Watch here on Thursday mornings, that Fox News has really been upping the anti-trans and homophobic hysteria of late. And, you know,
because they got nothing else.
Well, you kind of got to wonder. They have really close relationships with some of these far right lobbying groups, I would say hate groups. And what happens? Oh, gosh, there's a national effort to get this legislation passed. It's going forward in six states. Oh, vetoed in one. Now we're down to five at the moment. And at the same time, Fox is cranking up its propaganda machine to manufacture all manner of ideas based on, misinformation, because the PGI group has shown itself not to really care about being truthful while spreading hate.
Well,
it's a nice piece of work, isn't it?
It is. And it, but what's completely horrifying to me is that they believe that that's true.
Which people believe what's true?
I know.
True?
See, there's things are being bantied about.
Which people believe what's true?
The folks in this lovely organization, the Pacific, haters, think that we are at an impasse with people who know that they are that they should be able to go in and eat wherever they want to, or get gas wherever they want to. And then we're with people that, because of the nature of belief, instead of looking at facts, but then it's been so skewed that there is this divide, there is a chasm that is so wide. I would put out to the listeners, what do you think is a way to bridge that? Baseball bats over the head, not a good idea. No, that's not
it. Is there bridging it?
Yeah. It's so wide question. Because there are folks who believe, and then there are folks that know. And of course, no, everyone should be treated as an actual human being with dignity, rights, and but the culture of mean, the Fox culture of mean. I like to think that they're at a tipping point, and people are not buying it so much anymore. But when the biggest outcry, what finally changed this bill, was business, I'm thinking maybe not so much. It made me feel encouraged and discouraged simultaneously.
Yeah, pretty much feel discouraged. Pretty much no encouraged much anywhere. Nice that the governor signed the veto. Yes, based on business pressure.
Almost better than a sharp stick in the eye.
Almost. Better than a lit cigar shoved up the nose. I'm not encouraged. I'm not encouraged. As somebody who, let's just say I'm queer. Not encouraged by the underwhelming show.
Gonna make a road trip in Arizona soon, are you?
Oh yeah, can't wait. And then while I'm at it, I can go to these other five states that are also considering.
None of these states are places I want to go, but still,
Georgia,
other people live there.
Other people live there. Idaho's a bit close in it, like anytime you're going east, pretty much you're going to be dry. So you just don't stop, I suppose, is the key. So Georgia, Idaho, Mississippi, Missouri, Oklahoma. Is the other. And so these are where, again, bills touted as bills ensuring religious freedom. Isn't that good? We all want religious freedom. Who could argue with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Except when my religion tells me not to to be civil to you in any kind of way. I don't think that's what they're supposed to do. Oh, actually, I take it back. As our earlier caller pointed out, those main three monotheistic sky god religions of the Middle East actually do tell you to be quite uncivil to each other. If you read the Old Testament, it's really nasty. Never mind. Off I go then. 503-231-8187, the number to call this morning if you'd like to join us. Let's go ahead and talk to Brian. Good morning, Brian. You're on the air.
Heather, I hate to say it, that I'm actually in favor of the legislation.
All right, I hate that you're saying that too, but why?
Well, let me just say I am in favor of gay rights, but I'm against the government telling people how to run your business.
Okay, so that was exactly my point earlier. The government.
Well, you mentioned about the travel part and about in your community if you can't have service. And it is horrible. I lived in the Deep South, and I've seen cases like that. But
so you think it's all right for businesses to discriminate against a class of people just because, even though they have to seek business licensing from the state, right? The state has to actually give them, corporate charterhood or LLC licensing, right? So there's an interaction there. But then the state says, no, go ahead, go forth and discriminate in our name. That's okay.
Well, are they getting anything from the state, as in like tax dollars? Not really, not directly.
Well, actually, some businesses do, but yeah, go ahead.
In that case, they should. If they're receiving federal or state or local tax dollars, they should not discriminate. If they're not affiliated to the government, then I think they should be able to do what they want.
They all get business licenses.
Well, going on to what you're saying about not getting service, we have the internet now. You can get stuff delivered right to your door.
On a road trip? I'm running out of gas in
the
Grand Canyon.
But see that, I know, Brian, but as far as free, a lot of other, I'm assuming you're libertarian. Is that a good assumption?
For the most part.
Okay. Most of your fellow libertarians did not like this one little bit.
I don't know. I'd say it's pretty split.
I don't care what the other people say on that.
I mean,
if they're right, they're right. But I like to debate these issues.
Sure.
I'm not saying I am right.
No, and debating the issues is exactly what we're here
to do.
I'm sorry,
let's look at long term, though. What's doing best for gay rights? Going ahead and telling people you have to do what we tell you to do, which is going to breed resentment, or create these businesses that discriminate, and then people can boycott those businesses. And they can be forced out of the business market.
If they can.
Because
if,
an inclusive business is going to receive more business than an inclusive
It's
one.
The free market solution that doesn't work if you happen to live in someplace that's other than a fairly liberal, large metropolitan area. There is no free market if you are living in a rural area and you happen to be the only queer.
Well, and also, how far is it going to go? How far? Okay, and people with purple socks, not today either. How far do you want to take it?
Oh, great, Lynn.
I know. Do you have purple socks on?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. I didn't even look.
You're throwing out extremes that aren't going to happen.
Why? I would have never thought this would happen, but okay, go on.
Okay, let's try this then. What happens when you guys, right now gay rights are gaining a stronger foothold. I'm sorry, but it's gaining a stronger foothold, which is good. And what are these repressive groups? Once tables are turned, they're shrinking. Organized religion is falling apart, at least numbers-wise, in Europe, and starting to over here. What happens when the repressive ones that have tried stamping on people's rights are suddenly the minority, and you can turn them away?
No, it doesn't actually work that way. I don't want it to be okay for myself to discriminate against somebody based on their religious beliefs. Really,
good, then don't.
You know, it's just not right, is the thing.
And I agree with you on that, mm-hmm. but just because you think that does not mean it applies to everybody. Someone can have a different opinion.
Yeah.
And I think pushing that is just going to breed resentment and cause more hard feelings down the road.
Resentment exists, my friend. As somebody who's grown up queer in this world, right, I can tell you that it's nothing new to face discrimination in a business as a queer, right? It's not new.
I can understand that.
Right. I mean, because, you know, I've had friends. I myself have been hassled out of businesses because somebody has assumed I'm queer, because maybe I've kissed my girlfriend, because maybe I'm wearing a button, because whatever it is, whatever assumptions have been made. This has happened all throughout, right? We are finally getting to a point where perhaps I can just go ahead and live my life without a whole lot of discrimination.
Uh-huh.
Right? I still have to think about where I'm holding hands with my girlfriend. You know, something I have to say straight people don't think about.
I feel very bad about that, and I think you should have
I don't.
Right,
you know, I don't want you to feel bad about it. I want you to think about what you're saying about allowing discrimination. Because it's that really is the key. We are living in a pluralistic society. Yes, people have the ability and right to go into whatever religion they want to, but that religious freedom does not allow them to impact him on my ability to live my life, period. Right?
Now,
I mean, I happen to be a pagan. I happen to be a pagan.
If they go ahead and discriminate, what's the penalty for them?
I happen to be a pagan. I'm just going to turn a little religious foot around, okay? My place of worship is the forest. I am really, really into deep old growth groves. I think that it's a very wonderful and spiritual place. And this government, right, allows businesses to log them. And as somebody practicing my religion, I don't really have squat to say about that. I can't stand in the middle of that grove. Well, actually, one can. I think Earth First did this for a while. But then they were targeted by the same government. I don't know. It gets a little complicated. And demand our religious freedom to have this place of worship unstripped, right? I can't, you know, so I just... It's very interesting how we want to make sure we preserve religious freedoms for some at the expense of others' rights. And it's certainly not protecting the religious freedoms of everyone. Because when I talk about being a pagan and sacred groves and sacred waters and how I'd like them not to be befouled with pollutants, I'm laughed at. That's bad for business. I can get out of here, right? It's very hypocritical, to say the least. It's very hypocritical. It is, in fact, a stacked deck that is consistently looking at keeping people who are marginalized on the downside of power and keeping the status quo in place. And that's what it comes down to.
I think boycotts are effective, especially with the internet being able to trade information. And we just saw just now about how it was a business decision to veto that legislation.
Yeah. So that is, essentially, the threat of boycott. And it did actually make the governor do the right thing.
So you're saying the free market system does work. Boycotts work.
I do think that it is important to put your energy into things that serve you and to withhold it from things that don't. So I do believe in the principles of boycott for sure. It's a basic organizing tool, right? On the other hand, no, I don't think that the free market takes care of it all. No.
What's the penalty?
If somebody discriminates, what's the penalty?
Right. Because right now, so this law would have made it allowable for them to discriminate.
Mm.
So right now, it's illegal to discriminate. What happens to a business owner when they discriminate?
Well,
I have no idea. Quite frankly.
I think that there's options to sue. And I would like to look at options.
I believe that was the one that they were trying to...
That's the one they're trying to circumnavigate.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the one that exists, right? Beyond that, what I would actually like to see happen... Hold on. You asked me a question. I'm answering it.
About religion, and that's unconstitutional.
Hello. I just wanted to say, in my world, they would lose their business license. That's what I'd like to see. But right now, we're just talking about the ability to sue.
Oh, okay.
So... we're going to let you go. We're going to talk to the next person.
And thanks a lot for calling, Brian.
Hey, no problem. And once again, I do respect you guys' decisions on this entirely. It's kind of like a moot point on my end. I mean...
All right. You've said it here.
Meaning it's been vetoed, but I'm in favor of
getting right. Don't you worry. There are 5 other states with it coming right up. So this is a national movement. I don't agree with you that organized religion is getting weaker and queers are getting stronger. I don't agree with you. We can also look at what's happening in Uganda. We can look what's happening in Russia. We can look what's happening around the world with a huge backlash against gays, lesbians, bis, and transsexual people. It is not a done deal. Oh, we have achieved! Woohoo! I can do the queenly wave.
He's been on the
balcony.
Left coast too long.
It's not like that. It may be like that here in Portland. And it's true that state by state, states have come along and decided that, in fact, it's not constitutional to stop same-sex couples from marrying. Okay. Moving right along. That's really it. Woohoo, we have achieved. No, we have not freaking achieved.
Yeah, I don't think having marriage makes you. It's good.
If people want to do it. Sure.
Just want to see gay divorce court. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, you would. Okay. Let's go ahead and talk to Harvey. Good morning, Harvey. You're maybe not on the line anymore.
Karen. Step on up,
hello.
Karen. Hello. How are you?
Good. How's it going?
Good. What say you?
I guess I just want to, I have a couple points because I got to go soon, but just to bring it back to a super basic level, I've worked a lot in the school systems and, we teach, not to bully in our schools, and it's actually kind of been more recently, kind of a topic, even in the media, Taylor Swift, people fighting, talking up against bullying, and, this is kind of just a capitalistic form of bullying, in my opinion, and it kind of reverses what we teach in the K-12 system, that everybody get along, everybody, love one another, and then it brings it back to, it's okay to discriminate as soon as you turn 18 and you own a business. So along with that, I've worked a lot in the school systems. I've worked a lot in therapy. Some of my, gay students were, some of the most disturbed because just like every other human being that comes into this world, from the beginning, they want love and they want acceptance, okay? Not everybody maybe agrees with that later when they get more cognitively developed. They don't understand that. And then they want to start discriminating because somebody's different or they fear that person maybe. But I currently now work in insurance and, you know, we have a lot of same-sex couples that own homes together. And if we didn't insure them, do you know how many thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars of business that we would lose over the years just because it's two female names on a home ownership or two male names on a home ownership?
Mm-hmm.
We would lose so much money. So in a capitalistic, you know, society from an economic point of view, you know, it's bad for business. It's horrible for business. Why would you discriminate against, you know, money spends the same, whether it's coming from the hand of a Jewish woman, a black man, an Asian woman, you know, it all spends the same. And you live in a capitalistic society. So,
there was a situation here in Portland about 24 years ago, maybe. There was a little grocery store that was ran by somebody in a specific Christian denomination who, a cashier in the store, refused to take money because it was stamped, this is lesbian money. And
wait, I'm sorry. Well, how was the money was stamped?
You know, because actually there was a big visibility project in the late 80s to stamp your money if you happen to be queer, that this was queer money, this was lesbian money, this was gay money, whatever it was.
But it changes hands so quickly. So 1 second a lesbian has it, the next second, you know, an African-American has it.
Uh-huh.
So that's kind of crazy too.
It's an interesting thing. I mean, I think the idea was to get it out there into circulation so that, you know, somewhere along the ways, people are thinking about the fact that queers have economic impact. And again, we're talking about, you know, 1990-ish, which, you know, kind of is prehistory at this point, I think. But it was an interesting thing because there was a community boycott of the store. And they did, in fact, I believe that they ended up doing a little public apology, realizing that, in fact, not only does gay money spend, but, in fact, if you are known to be discriminating, it is economically harmful in an organized community. So
it's hugely impactful. And I think that, you know, not just if you're like the people, I think it was at Gresham, a bakery that wouldn't make a cake for a lesbian wedding or whatever that was.
I know, how fun that would have been, you know.
But then they called in and they would do divorce cakes and everything that, you know, still goes against their religion.
Yes.
So I think people are using religion as an excuse to discriminate against things that they don't understand or that they fear. A lot of people that are involved in organized religion are there for the community aspect of it. And, you know, just to feel a part of something. And everybody wants to feel a part of something. We're all interconnected, you know, just like the whole gay marriage thing, the wedding industry is a multi-billion dollar industry every year. Do you know how many billions of dollars we're missing out on by not letting, you know, same-sex couples get married? You know, marriage isn't all it's cracked up to be. So, you know, I think it's very interesting. And I, you know, hope that people really look at this law before they even try to pass it, because it's just teaching that discrimination is okay, which from elementary school we try to teach that it's not. So it's just hypocrisy.
No wonder
kids
totally are confused.
Yeah. And in fact, what you're saying really hits at the core for me. We live in a pluralistic society. We are supposed to be ever more learning how to get along with each other. And what this does is takes us back, you know, 50 years the other direction of how to separate and demonize each other. And that is not okay. That is
right.
Not the direction of our world.
And the U.S., whether we like it or not, we are the melting pot of the entire world. So we really need to start learning how to get along, regardless of anything, race, religion, anything. We just need to learn to love thy neighbor, or there's going to be more wars happening sooner than later.
Well, you know, and if you don't have to talk to people, if you can just say, please leave the premises. One of the things that's so important is a lot of times when people start talking to each other and relating to each other and are not so isolated, you see that there's a commonality there. And to me, these these organizations like Fox News and everything it spawns are nothing but isolation, are making people feel isolated, alone, and hateful, and the exact antidote to what we need at the moment.
Right, and I mean, I've traveled all over the world. I've been in, you know, numerous different churches and accepted into different, you know, religions just to take a peek at it. And if you really make an effort, you can relate to any human being on this earth, and there's over 7 billion of them, regardless of, you know, what their, you know, sexual orientation is or race is. If you start talking to someone, you know, thinking about love and kindness, you can relate to them regardless. And this isn't any sort of religious piece.
Well, and on a certain level, yeah.
You can try to find something to relate, you know, maybe it's the weather, maybe it's the food you eat, but it's time to start finding ways to relate to each other and stop hating each other. So,
thank you, Karen. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
You too.
And we've got calls.
503-231-8187, the number to call. You are listening to Positively Revolting. This is, excuse me, KBOO Community Radio.
It is.
You know, I was in the process of getting water when suddenly I heard our theme music stop and I ran down the hall. But I'm going to run out and I'm going to get water.
All right.
So
well,
you
while
just
you do
read
that,
those announcements.
There's announcements. There's stuff coming up this morning on KBOO at 9 o'clock on One Land, Many Voices. Host Ned Roche speaks with Omar Bargotti, founding member of the Palestinian Campaign for Academic and Cultural Boycott of Israel, and Shandam Reedy, professor at the University of Washington, about how the boycott, divestment and sanctions movement is changing the Palestinian struggle for justice. At 10, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15, hear Flashpoints, investigative news journalism, and with host Dennis Bernstein. At 11, on the Radio Zine, members of the GI Coffee House tour talk about what they do, the history of the GI Coffee House movement, and the current state of the military and what it means for service members and their families. At 11:30, Michelle Schroeder Fletcher speaks with Sean DiCarlo of the Oregon Food Bank and David Bolton of the State of Oregon about hunger in Oregon, the food bank, and DEQ Food Stock, a variety music show this Saturday to raise funds for the Oregon Food Bank. And thank you, KBOO members, so much for your support during our winter membership drive. If for some chance you may have missed that a little bit, you can still go to, just no worries whatsoever. You can go to kboo.fm, click on Donate Now, and get it done there, I would presume. Let's see. We'll go ahead and start taking some callers. Harvey, what's up?
Hi there.
Hi.
Well, first of all, thank you for the show. It's
certainly
necessary. Now, I believe that that religious people are in a lot of trouble, because in a way they're discriminating against God's creation. God, they praise God. They say, God, the creator of the universe, we love God and we praise his creation. And yet, here's God's creation, and yet we're discriminating against God's creation. So I feel that people who think they're going to get into heaven by discriminating against God's creation are in serious trouble. And also the gift of the spice of life, the variety of life. If we were all the same, it would be more than boring. It would be a place that it would just be infinitely boring. And it's through the spice of life, it's through the variety of all things, all creatures and all life, that life is interesting. This is a gift from the Creator. Here we're spitting on the gift. I feel that as we come into the quantum reality, you know, we're into Newtonian reality, which is quantifiable, separate, measurable, but we're into the quantum reality now, where at the smallest particles of the universe, they're entangled. The electrons, the photons, when they're entangled, as far as you separate them, they still react together. And if our scientists were right that life sprang forth, that the universe sprang forth from a primordial atom, then if we're all part of that primordial atom, we're all entangled. So the thing is that we're going against, if there is a God, we're going against him or her or it on every level here. We're cursing the variety of life. we're saying no to the quantum entanglement, and we're discriminating against the creation.
So right on.
I think that.
Well, thank you, Harvey.
I think that religious people are in serious trouble with this concept, and they got to rethink it, or else, they're just telling God that he screwed up. God, you screwed up when you invented those people. Well, then you're asking
right.
for trouble. So I think that
it's
yeah.
Well, thank you.
I've actually watched that play out in a really loud theological argument in a community close to me, and it was an interesting. And effective.
It was like, you know, George Carlin used to say, if God is all powerful, can he make a rock so big that he himself can't move it? It's sort of...
The Simpsons did that, too.
Did they? Well, they copied
it. Was
like,
well, yeah, you know.
Anyway, thanks very much for those observations, Harvey.
My pleasure. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I think, I just want to get caught up on callers here. BT.
Good morning.
BT. Oh, I'm sorry. Lisa.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm great. I'm enjoying your conversation. I'm thinking you're missing one point, though, and I just wanted to toss
Please
it
provide.
In there. I think it's what people are misinterpreting is that what religious liberty or freedom is.
Uh-huh.
And I'll give a few hard examples. My religious liberty might be at risk if I'm not allowed to go to a religious service of my own choosing in my community.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or I'm not allowed to marry the person I love legally, even though my religious community blesses my marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm being forced to use birth control. Or I'm not allowed to pray privately. Or I'm not allowed to teach my kids the creation story at home. Or if I'm not allowed to purchase or possess religious books in my community,
mm-hmm.
then my religious freedom would be at risk.
Mm-hmm.
But if I use my religion to force people to not take birth control, if I use my religious freedom to not allow people to stay in a hotel of their choice or get a meal at a restaurant of their choice, then that's an inappropriate use of the concept of religious freedom. And that's all I have to say. Thanks a lot.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Thank you, Lisa.
And very well said. Thank you very much for your call this morning. 503-231-8187, the number to call. And you can also comment on Facebook, where you can find us as Positively Revolting, facebook.com/positivelyrevolting. You can also email us positivelyrevolting@gmail.com.
So many ways.
We're there. You can access. And BT is back. Good morning, BT.
Yeah, good morning. What I wanted to talk about was, you mentioned earlier about the mischaracterization of this law and I guess others, it's always, almost always in the press. Now, this particular law here, because this was a terrible law, had no business being passed for a variety of reasons, but the main thing that people are forgetting, what this law doesn't circumvent the existing discrimination laws that people have been talking about. This law merely stated that anyone who is sued for, let's say, not baking the cake for the gay wedding, for example, and that's usually the main example, could still be sued, but they are allowed to use their religious belief as a defense. And, of course, they can already do that, of course, but they could still be sued, and they're still going to lose probably every time because the discrimination laws are still valid. And but people are, right away, it was just this simple, you know, boilerplate, you know, single line thing. Oh, they're allowed to discriminate now. No, it just says if you refuse to bake the cake for the event, because this is usually about events, they can't
no, it's not actually necessarily about events, but go ahead.
Yeah. No, because a lot of some of the cases about the people at bakery that didn't want to bake the cake,
sure,
they were
yeah.
told, yes, we'll bake you the cake. Anytime you could come in every Saturday for cake, but you just won't do one for a wedding, an event that we cannot condone. So that's the difference between the people. I'm not saying that any of this is right, but the law just merely stated something that people could already do, that they could use their religious belief system as a
So defense. You're saying it was a redundant law?
It was that. It doesn't circumvent discrimination laws because the lawsuits are still valid and people are probably going to win every time. It's a stupid law, and even the whole idea behind it is bad. But I'm just saying people are just going around acting as if this law said you can discriminate, period. It doesn't really say that.
Okay. Thanks very much for your call this morning. And again, legislation is pending now in five other states. They're all similar bills, all similar, slightly different state to state.
Because they're written by the same group.
Check them out. Yeah, and they are all sort of being put out there by the Pacific Justice Institute. Right.
Always with the ironic names, those people.
Yeah.
You'd think they were hipsters or something.
Let's go ahead and talk to Linda. Good morning, Linda. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, thank you for talking about this issue. I just, I've been thinking about the geographic location in which this is all happening and the amount of indigenous people there. And just, I mean, the idea that queers have existed in Arizona since Arizona has been around, like even before it was called in Arizona, I think it's very insulting that like these businesses are choosing to discriminate against a group that has existed since time immemorial.
Well, you can say that to every group that's ever been discriminated against, which they start, you know,
absolutely.
I was last year, right about this time, I was driving through Arizona. And they have stop. They have little places where you get stopped to see what color your skin is before they pass you, let you go through.
Wow.
Yeah. They do that in Texas, too, if you're driving south close to the border.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of interesting. Drive through states, I say. But anyway, thank you for your comments this morning, Linda. Do you have anything else to say? I'm sorry.
Oh, I've just been thinking about, I mean, a group that has historically, I mean, pre-contact been revered and respected by their communities. And I'm talking about Two-Spirits here, and that's not really a well-known aspect of Native cultures necessarily, but just, I mean, going from being, you know, the medicine people and the healers and the namesakes to being discriminated against in a restaurant because of what you look like or who you love. It's just infuriating. So, thank you.
Good. It should be. Good. Thank you, Linda.
Cheers. And let's see, 503-231-8187. We're getting a lot of calls this morning, which I am thrilled with. We love to interact with people. That's why we're here.
It's the conversation
thing. We also got an email.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is an interesting point. We have from Holy Cow, who said that they're enjoying the show this morning. They're against discriminatory legislation that would enshrine in law that discrimination based on religious belief is okay. And that said, issues like the local issue where the lesbian couple went to the Christian-owned bakery and demanded a wedding cake, the person writing says... Well, okay, I won't try to edit it on the fly. I'm just going to read it. Demand that they make a cake for the couple's wedding when the business owners strongly believe that marriages between a man and a woman should ideally be solved by all parties simply by being reasonable about it instead of lawsuits. In other words, queer community can support queer businesses and not bother people who are made uncomfortable by the existence of gay marriage or queers. I think Lynn had the point earlier that some folks decided to sort of take it to an interesting conclusion, which was to ask that business, so devout in their Christian beliefs, to make a divorce cake. I think there was also, there was something about a birth out of wedlock, congratulations on the birth of your new
would be on the top of that
right.
cake, but yeah.
I don't think I can say that on the radio. But they didn't have a problem with making any of these other cakes, which, as Lynn points out, are all concerning issues that are hypothetically, you know, if you're going to be a devout Christian, you're against them. But the only one that they freaked out about was, in fact, the queer marriage cake.
It's a fundy Christian.
It's an interesting
because there's
thing.
Nothing that
No. So anyway, I think that that's interesting, and I just wanted to put that out there to Holy Cow. They go on to say that if it was a small town and there was only one shop in town, then yes, the couple would be absolutely right to demand their equal rights. But in a place as diverse as the Portland metropolitan area, there's plenty of choice, and maybe people should just take the path of least resistance. I paraphrased that last paragraph and a half, and say go to the businesses that support their community and leave the other businesses alone. It's an interesting, you know, it's an interesting take. I personally would never, just never, decide that I'm going to go to a far right wing Christian business. And
so was that the story that they knew that it was?
See, I don't think they did. That was my
usually
my
there's not a flag out front.
My understanding was it happened to be a business, a bakery that did wedding cakes that was sort of in the neighborhood, and they thought they would check it out, and in fact were met with "We won't do that," which. You know,
sets off buttons.
It's, you know, it tends to raise the hackles a little bit, and then you start getting entrenched. That's my understanding of how it happened. I don't think that the couple actually sought it out because they wanted to challenge them. Overall, I agree. We should support businesses that are supportive of us. I agree that that just makes sense. But again, when it comes down to the state allowing discrimination or, you know. Yeah, that's a dangerous.
And I, you know, I do. There's the irony back. That you cannot sue for medical damages to a certain point, but boy,
where are you going?
Well, what I'm thinking about is that people are not supposed to get recompense for anything. Like something real. There's something. It's very important to be able to sue a doctor that has. Maybe I'm going nowhere with this. I'm
okay.
Sorry.
Let's go ahead and talk to Dayon. Look, Lynn is now hiding her face in both hands. We're going to talk to Dave. Good morning, Dave. You're on the air.
Good morning. Thank you. I had a thought. The gentleman who called a couple calls back with kind of the libertarian take on the situation, he mentioned that if the businesses are receiving state dollars, then he would think they should not be able to discriminate.
Yeah.
And I would just point out that any business practicing in any municipality benefits from police protection, which is certainly comes from government dollars.
And fire and the public sewer and the roads that you use to get to the shop. But again, business licenses, you get them through the state. The state licenses you to do business. I'd say that's really all the connection you need.
Well, I tend to agree with you, but I've found myself in discussions with people of that ilk quite a lot, and I just think that's it kind of torpedoes their argument. And similarly, whenever I've discussed kind of marriage equality with a libertarian type who argues for freedom of religion, blah blah blah. Again, a pretty good torpedo is, well, you're infringing on the rights of some individuals, and that tends to kind of shut them right up. So anyway, just some,
thanks for the tips.
Thanks for the tips, Dave.
Thanks so much, y'all.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye. We have just about 1 minute left. Rob, if you have something to squeeze in for 1 minute, feel free.
Greetings. Hey,
good morning.
I just wanted to comment on the cake issue. I mean, what's being overlooked is that I don't believe they were discriminating against the people. They were simply discriminating against the act that the people were about to commence, which is marriage.
Well,
you can be friends with people, you can love people, but you don't have to support sinful behavior.
All right. Well, there you have it, Rob.
Well, thanks, Rob. That was really fast, and we'll talk to
the point.
To the point, and please call in again. Thank you, Rob.
That's discrimination, period. I don't think that they were really particularly loving the sinner in that particular case either. I mean, there was some nastiness going on. But we're out of time. Look at that.
Thanks you all for tuning in.
Gotta say, discrimination is never okay, right? Never okay. There's so much more to talk about. Frankly, I could go on for another 3 hours, possibly by myself. But I won't at this moment. We will make way for the following show. And your community radio station will move on through its broadcast day.
Absolutely.
Do tune in again next week when we will be back and positively
with further
revolting.
Adventures of Positively
That's
Revolting
over.
Talk Radio.
Thanks
so Kristen.
Much. And thanks. Yeah, thanks to the Engineering Pixie. Yay, Kristen.
Thought will tell the world how you cast your vote.
Sponsor the 24th annual Cascade Festival of African Films. Due to cancellations of screenings due to the weather earlier this month, the festival is being extended through March 8th. Please check their website for all scheduling details. AfricanFilmFestival.org.
I'm out to sing songs. It'll prove to you that this is your world. And that if it's hit you pretty hard and knocked you down for a dozen loops, no matter how hard it's run you down and rolled over you, no matter what color, what size you are, how you're built, I am out to sing the songs that'll make you take pride in yourself.
I'm Lori Sonnenfeld.
And I'm Don Jacobson.
Together we bring you Movin' On, Fridays from 12 noon to 1:30.
We feature both traditional and contemporary folk music.
We love to present live in-studio concerts from local and national musicians.
Tune in and you'll hear music that is socially progressive, moving, and heartfelt.
Music heard only on the left-hand edge of the dial and only on KBOO.
Every Friday, noon to 1:30.
We who believe in freedom cannot
This is KBOO Portland. Time is 9:02 a.m. Coming up this morning on KBOO at 9 on One Land, Many Voices, host Ned Roche speaks with Omar Barghouti, founding member of the Palestinian Campaign for the Academic and Cultural Boycott of Israel, and Chandan Reddy, professor at the University of Washington, about how the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement is changing the Palestinian struggle for justice. At 10, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15, hear Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. At 11, on the Radio Zine, members of the GI Coffeehouse Tour talk about what they do, the history of the GI Coffeehouse movement, the current state of the military, and what it means for service members and their families. At 11:30, Michelle Schroeder-Fletcher speaks with Sean DiCarlo of the Oregon Food Bank and David Bolton of the State of Oregon about hunger in Oregon, the food bank, and DEQ Food Stock, a variety music show this Saturday to raise funds for the Oregon Food Bank. Thanks, KBOO members, for your support in our winter membership drive. If you missed it, go to kboo.fm and click where it says Donate Today.
صوت في سكوت الليل احلامك يا دنيا بلاش تصحي على فين يا موج الشوق ميودي.
Good morning everyone, and welcome to One Land, Many Voices on commercial-free, listener-supported KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland. My name is Ned Roche, and this morning I'll be doing the show without Zaha, my awesome co-host, who will be here in spirit as we talk about the rapidly growing grassroots global campaign known as Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions, or BDS. Though nonviolent action has always been a part of Palestinian resistance, even as far back as the first organized Zionist immigration to Palestine, BDS is perhaps the broadest and most organized expression of nonviolent resistance to Israeli colonial policies and human rights abuses. Initiated by Palestinian civil society in 2005, its aim is to have people of conscience around the world apply moral, legal, and political pressure on the Israeli government until it complies with international law and internationally recognized human rights. A groundbreaking victory for the BDS campaign occurred in December when the American Studies Association, the nation's largest association of professors devoted to the study of American culture and history, overwhelmingly voted to endorse BDS. As a result of the vote, ASA members have been savaged in the mainstream press, attacked by Israeli government officials, and smeared as anti-Semites. Portland State University President Vim Vival is among those who condemned the ASA.